Well, good morning. It's great to be back here in Coaldale. The last couple of weeks, Joyce and I have been traveling across Western Canada. 2 weeks ago, we were in North Central BC, and last weekend, we were in Winnipeg area. So we've put a few kilometers on, so it's been good to be back here and good to be in a warm, sunny place. Manitoba was quite wet when we were there, so it's nice to be in a nice, warm place again. And when we were out, we shared in two different churches, and we were going and sharing a little bit about what our ministry is in the Philippines and how we are there to help prepare future missionaries from the Philippines to go out and serve the Lord as His representatives in different places and among the unreached people groups of our world. And one of the things that I have experienced as I interact with Filipinos as they come and say, I'm sensing God really wants me to be a missionary. Or I know God wants me to be a missionary. But they often come and say, but I'm struggling with this issue or that issue. And they have many different fears about going out and serving the Lord. Sometimes they say, well, I don't know about this whole thing about raising financial support. I don't know if I could do that. Or they might say, I don't know if I can go out and all by myself. It's going to be really lonely out there. And for Filipinos, being alone is just not a thing they do. It's being independent is very, very difficult. And so they have a fear of being alone. Sometimes they will question, well, am I qualified? And I thanks, James, for that intro about the Olympics. You know, the preparation that's needed to serve or to be a representative for your country. And often they come to me and I say, well, I'm encouraged about your desire to serve the Lord, but you need more preparation. You need to go back, go to Bible school, get some training as you are preparing to go and serve the Lord. And that brings fear into their hearts. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can serve the Lord if that's what it requires. And there are a multitude of fears that they experience. And as I look at them, I can identify with them. I share sometimes with them some of my own fears. And I know we all have fears from time to time. And I've experienced fear in my own life. I first began to sense God calling me and challenging me to get involved in missions when I was in high school. And back then it was kind of almost a romantic idea of going out and to the Andes Mountains and sharing, you know, in some far-off village. But as I went through Bible school, I sensed that more and more, but I had that internal struggle. I don't know if I'm qualified. I'm a dairy farmer boy. I'm shy. I'm very, very introverted. I can't talk to people. And missionaries, they go preach, they teach, they evangelize. They're bold. That's not me. And I had all these fears. And yet I sense God continually impressing on my heart and my life, hey, you need to go out and be my representative. And that struggle kept on going on in my heart until one day in my devotional time, I was reading through scripture and I was reading the book of Proverbs. And I came across a verse in Proverbs 29:25, it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And it was just like the Holy Spirit hit me on the head with a hammer and said, that's you. Fear of man, that's your problem. You're afraid. And it's being a snare to what I want to do in your life. And I recognized that and I said, okay, Lord, yes, I see that. And at that time, my prayer was, Lord, take away that fear. I don't want to experience this fear in my life. And as I look back now, my prayer should have been more, Lord, give me courage. Give me the courage to do what you want me to do. Don't just take away the fear, but give me the courage to overcome my fear. And this is something that I think as I interact with people, I see everybody has fears of some kind or another. We're all struggling with fears. And I know that courage is something that is widely respected, and people hold up high people who have courage. And I looked up, what does courage mean? And I looked up in the dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary, and the first definition that came about courage was the ability to do something that frightens one. Bravery. You know how in the movies we always idolize those who are so brave? But that's courage. A second definition, strength in the face of pain or grief. Those take courage. Andy Stanley comments that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage assumes fear. Fearful people are not held up to high in our culture. But courage assumes fear. There is fear, and we have overcome it. And that's part of the struggle. How do we overcome our fear? How do we deal with our fear? Melanie Greenberg has given six attributes of courage. The first attribute that she gives, and this is in Psychology Today, she says, feeling fear, yet choosing to act. A second one was following your heart or following God's direction in your life. That takes courage. A third one was persevering in the face of adversity. Another one, standing up for what is right. And we know in our world today, right is wrong and wrong is right. And it's becoming very, very difficult to stand up for what God says is right. Another one is expanding your horizons, letting go of the familiar. We love to be content in the familiar, doing what we're comfortable doing. But how about expanding our horizons? We're often fearful of that. It takes courage to expand, to try new things. And then facing suffering with dignity or faith. So these are some of the attributes of what courage is. Now there was a innovative company in Carlsbad, California, and their idea was, how can we make it so people will feel cool and tough and courageous? And they decided to market and sell a line of products called No Fear Gear. I don't know if you remember seeing t-shirts or thing that says No Fear, you know. And they have really capitalized on the current attention to attitude and image in our culture. Their product sells because so many people that believe that wearing no fear shoes, pants, shirts, hats will make them feel invincible. I have no fear because I have this t-shirt on. Yeah. They will feel confident. And for boys especially, I see you laughing there. For boys especially, you know, it makes them feel like real men. I don't have any fear. And this company, like others who sell to our egos, has made millions of dollars selling this no fear gear. The owners maintain that they are not trying to make people do dangerous things, but to buy self-confidence and self-esteem. Well, I googled online and found this definition of fear. And it said, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. And I think all of us experience fear from time to time. There was a survey that someone did back in 1997, and they asked people, what do you fear? And according to this survey, 54% fear car accidents. 53% feel getting sick with cancer. 50% feel Social Security will not be enough. 49% feel that there won't be enough money for retirement. 36% fear food poisoning from meat. 32% fear not being able to pay off debt. 30% fear other sicknesses. 28% fear AIDS. 25% fear calamities like typhoons and earthquakes. That's for the Philippines. And 20% fear being injured or killed in a bomb attack. Terrorism, we hear it all the time. Almost every day there's a new terrorist attack somewhere. But what about fear for us as believers, as Christians, as members of a church? Do you ever fear that God might ask you to do something? I never really wanted to do that. Are you afraid of stepping out and trying something new? Even within the church, there are fear. We experience fear when someone comes, approaches you, and asks you, would you pray? Or God asks you, would you share the gospel with your neighbor? Or would you go and help your neighbor? Or would you talk to someone who needs correcting? We have that inner fear. We'll be rejected. We'll be hated. Nobody will want to listen to us again. But what does the Bible talk about in the area of fear? Some Bible experts claim that do not be afraid or fear not is the most repeated command in the Bible. According to one scholar, it is repeated in various forms in Scripture over 100 times. Can you imagine one command over 100 times in Scripture? Excuse me. Let's look at some of the characters in Scripture that experience fear. Adam and Eve, first people on earth. Almost immediately they experienced fear when they sinned, disobeyed. How about Cain? He was afraid people were going to kill him. Abraham was afraid that someone was going to kill him because of his wife. Jacob was afraid of Esau. The sons of Israel, they are afraid of Joseph, that he would take revenge on them. Moses was afraid when he was called to serve the Lord. Gideon was afraid when God called him to fight. King Saul was afraid when he was chosen to be king, and also when God left him. King David many times experienced fear when he fled from his enemies. Isaiah, when he realized he was a sinner before God, he says, woe is me. Jeremiah, when he was called to serve, was afraid. I am too young. I can't do what you're asking me. Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. Joseph and Mary were fearful when they saw the angel announcing that they're going to have a baby. The disciples were afraid when they were on the boat in the storm. Timothy was afraid. He was supposed to be a servant for the Lord, but he was timid and shy. I can relate to him. Fear is a common emotion. How many here this morning, this last month, have experienced fear of one some kind or another? Put up your hand if you've experienced fear. Yeah, I think we all experience fear from time to time. I won't ask you what it was, but we do experience fear. And this morning we're going to look at the story of Joshua and how God called him to be courageous, to overcome fear. Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. Give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Verse 7. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I love these stories from Scripture, that they can be a challenge to me in my life. And this morning we're going to look at three aspects of God's call to service in the life of Joshua. First, we're going to look at God's assignment. Next, God's provision. And next, God's expectations. But let's look at God's assignment first. Now, God's assignment to Joshua is, you're going to lead these people into the promised land. And I don't know personally what Joshua was feeling when he was told this. He may have had an inkling that this was coming. He was Moses' aide, and he had just been told, "Hey, Moses is dead. You're next up in line." And, you know, he was called to follow Moses. Now, Moses is probably known as one of the greatest godly men in all of Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. And Joshua's called to follow his legacy. I don't know if you've ever been asked to follow somebody that's been a great leader, and then you've been asked, "Now you're next." That's intimidating. How I will be compared to the last guy. And Joshua, he's probably thinking, "Oh boy, what's going to happen? Am I adequate for the job?" Secondly, he's facing all those big, giant people in the promised land. He had scouted it all. He had seen them. He knew that it was going to be a tough job, a difficult job. Excuse me. Another thing is, often an assignment from God often means taking on a new role. Transitioning to a new role is often difficult. Even transitioning to a new phase in life. You know, we go from graduation from high school to college, and then we go to college, and we go to the work world, and then we go switch to a different job, and then eventually we get to the age of retirement, and those take courage, those transitions in life. And for Joshua, he was transitioning from being Moses' secretary, aide, whatever you want to call it, assistant. Now he is in the limelight. He is the leader. People are looking to him. Oh boy. I preferred it better when Moses was here and he was in the limelight. I was in the shadow. But now I'm in the limelight. That takes courage. Thank you. Another thing, God's assignment often means stepping out of your comfort zone. And Joyce and I have experienced that in our mission ministry. Often we're asked to do something that I've never done before. Because nobody else is available, now I'm in the limelight. I have to do this. And God often asks us to step out of our comfort zone when He asks us to do a service of some kind, whether it's here in the church, whether it's at home, or whether it's at work, or in the mission field. Stepping out of our comfort zone is not fun. It's scary. And a lot of people hold back from getting involved in service because of, this is new territory for me. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. So God's assignment takes courage. Let's look at God's provision. He didn't leave us with, put on your no fear t-shirt and you're ready to go. No. He had provision for us. And God's provision for Joshua. In verse 5, we see that God had promises. He says, every place you will go, I will give to you. These are God's promises to him. They were encouragements to him. He wasn't left up, well, you might make it, you might not, I don't know. It was a promise. You will succeed, and this will become part of the nation of Israel. So these were God's promises to him. Secondly, God's presence. When God asks us to do something, God has promised He will be with us. He was with Joshua. He said, I will be with you as you go into the promised land. As you cross the Jordan River, I will be with you. As you fight the Hittites and all the different big, tall giants, I will be with you. How often do we forget that when God calls us to do something new, step out of our comfort zone, do a God-sized assignment, He's with us. We're not on our own. He's going to give us the strength we need. And then, of course, God gave His instructions. God gave Joshua guidance for how he's going to do this role, this service. How he could be a great leader. God's guidance is crucial for us as we step out into service. And let's look a little bit closer at that. And it's God's expectations. God's expectations. First of all, God expects us to be strong and courageous, bold and courageous in our service for Him. He doesn't want us to just try a little bit. He wants us to do our best. Just like those Olympians, those people that were going out to serve in the Olympics, serve their country. They were going to give their best. They weren't holding back. They wanted to give their best. And God wants us to be strong and courageous in our assignment. But interestingly enough, He also included two other commands with this, go out and do your assignment. It wasn't just go out and do your assignment, but He also says, and He says, be strong and courageous to live according to the law. I don't want you just to go out and be whatever leader you want to be, some kind of despot out there leading the people. He says, I want you to live according to my word, according to the law. Oh, that takes courageous service. It takes courage to live according to God's word. When others want you to live differently, do you have the courage to stand up and say, I have chosen to follow God. I have chosen to follow Jesus, and I will live according to His directions. And third, we need to be strong and courageous, because the only way we can live according to God's word is if we know it. And God told Joshua, I want you to read the law every day. I want you to meditate on it. Not just read it. Don't go, okay, I've done my duty. I've read my chapter of the day. I want you to meditate. I want to interact with you through my word. I want it to become intimate. I want to become intimate with you. And this is where we really, really gain our courage. When we are intimate with God. When we are able to read his word. And we aren't kind of like, okay, this is boring. I just read my chapter. Put it aside. He wants to interact with us. He gives us guidance as we read his word. So God's challenge to us, be strong and courageous in doing your assignment. Whatever service God asks you to do. Be strong and courageous in obeying God's word as you do this service. And be strong and courageous in prioritizing reading and meditating on God's word. And these are challenges I'm trying to implement in my life. And I'm finding that these two, living a holy life, living according to God's word, and reading and spending time in God's word, are essential to being courageous and strong in doing the service God has called me to. Andy Stanley has said, there is a difference between acting courageously and carefully, or carelessly. Ask people who work with wild animals, and they will be quick to explain the difference. It takes a great deal of courage to handle a venomous snake, but carelessness could cost you your life. The point is, we need to be courageous but not careless. And I believe that these two commands that God gave to Joshua, live according to God's word and spend time in God's word, meditating on it, were to help him be careful. John 15 says, 1-7 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while each branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this part here is important. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A good reminder from our Lord that as we serve, as we desire to serve courageously, we need to remain in him. For our guidance, for our strength, he enables us to serve courageously. He enables us to overcome any fears that we may have. Here are some takeaways. Number one, our courage should not be based on our own strength, wisdom, or abilities. It's often a fallback for us, you know, oh, I just haven't had time for the Lord these days. But I can still do it. I know enough about Scripture. Our courage should not be based on ourselves. Number two, we gain courage from God's Word. We gain courage. God's Word encourages us in our service. We gain courage when we remain or abide in Christ. When we are intimate with Christ, as we interact, pray to him, listen to him, that's where we gain courage. We gain courage because Christ abides in us. He's present with us. He's promised never to leave us, as he promised for Joshua. We gain courage when we live godly lives and God blesses us. That's an encouragement to us as well. And we gain courage when we obey God's assignment for us. What about some outcomes? Joshua was courageous and successful as he led Israel into the promised land and defeated his enemies. He is one of the greatest leaders Israel ever had. How about the New Testament, the disciples? They changed from fearful fishermen and to being bold and sacrificial and courageous witnesses for Jesus. What about you? What about us? Are there things that we're fearful about today? That we need courage and strength to face? How about a fear of helplessness? I feel so helpless. Satan would want us to feel this way and to give up serving the Lord. I don't seem to be getting any headway in teaching Sunday school or leading the youth or whatever. It seems such a minor job. How about fear of the future? What's going to happen in the future in our world? Fear of commitment. Boy, I don't know if I can last that long. I don't know if I can take on this role. I have so many other things I want to do. Fear of failure. I don't know if I can do it. Fear of loneliness. Fear of death. Fear of people. That was on my list. Fear of obeying God. Or how about fear of what others think of us? Fear of inadequacies. We all have these fears. And yet God wants us to be strong and courageous in serving Him. Remember what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. My life verse has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. I constantly need to remind myself, trust in the Lord, not in myself. And don't lean on my own understanding. I don't always understand what God is doing, why I've been asked to do this or that. But I've chosen, most times, trying to be obedient to what God has called me to. Remember, when God gives you an assignment, God's provision and expectations. God wants you to succeed. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we remember that You are our God, You are our King, and You are the one that gives assignments. You give service opportunities. You challenge us to serve You in many different ways, big ways and small ways, at home in different locations. And yet You want us to be courageous in serving You in these ways. You know our weaknesses, our fears, and I pray that You would give each of us the courage to face our fears, to be obedient to Your word, to spend time in Your word, living so that we can live according to Your word, and to be successful in the service You've called us to. This morning, if you have a fear that has come to mind during this message, I pray that you would, I'd ask you that just talk to God about that. Is there something that you need to face and admit your fear? God is calling you to be courageous and be obedient. Lord, You've heard our prayers. You've promised to be with us. Help us to be strong and courageous in serving You. Amen.